Mitch is my grad student. I'm Margaret Worthington. I'm a fruit breeder at the University of Arkansas. And this is work that was led by my grad student, Mitch Armour. And Mitch was unable to make it to the conference today, so I am presenting in his place. But he did a really nice job with this work. So a major post-harvest issue for the blackberry industry is red drupelet reversion. And here you can see it up in the corner where you pick the blackberry full black and ripe, put it in cold storage, pull it out, and some of the drupelets turn red again, and it's quite unsightly. People don't like it. So it's because it's a big concern for the industry, we are working on this issue in our breeding program, trying to breed for resistance to red drupelet reversion. So, as I said, it's a post-harvest disorder. You pick the fruit and it looks like just this on the top, looks good, and then typically during or after cold storage, you'll pull it out and there'll be some degree of this red drupelet reversion. And it's very common if you go into the grocery store and find a clamshell full of blackberries. And, you know, I even see it in advertisements for pictures of blackberries. And it's like, well, that's ugly. I wouldn't put that in an advertisement. So what are the signs? You get this presence of these red drupelets, and sometimes it goes along with leakage. So it's unattractive to consumers. We actually did a survey with our collaborator in the food science department where she did an online survey and she showed people pictures of blackberries and clamshells with varying levels of damage. And people do prefer the clamshells with no red drupelet reversion. And people often commented that they looked unripe when they had the red drupelets, although that is certainly not the case. They look unripe and that's how they're perceived. So it's a problem because you have lower marketability, and it ultimately leads to a lot of discarded fruit that's hard to find statistics about the value or the losses to the industry, but according to our colleagues who are marketers of blackberry fruit, it is a major issue and causes lots of millions of dollars of losses for the industry every year. So what causes it? Well, you know, I have a theory. And now there's even a paper that's out that supports my theory, so I feel better about saying it in a presentation. there's a guy named Max Edgley who is a PhD student, or now he may be graduated, at the University of Tasmania, and he's done a lot of interesting work on red drupelet reversion. So my theory goes along with his findings, and I feel better about it. Basically, what happens is that you have this damage to cells. Cells naturally, during the ripening process, you have cell walls breaking down, membranes breaking down due to increased activity of polygalactonases and other enzymes, right? So with those weakened membranes, you pick the fruit. Maybe you're a little rough with it when you handle it. Maybe you take it down a dirt road in Mexico on the way to shipping it somewhere, and it gets banged up. Then you take it into a cold area where, again, it goes through this shift from warm to cold all of a sudden. And you have these walls breaking down. So then the anthocyanin goes out of the vacuole where it's sequestered in the very low pH environment into a higher pH cytoplasm environment, and there it breaks down. So this is supported by the work of Max Edgley, who was actually found when he extracts and takes extractions from reverted drupelets and non-reverted drupelets from the same berry, much lower anthocyanin concentrations. It is influenced by genetics. We find that the type of anthocyanin matters. This is supported by the work of Max Edgley, that some anthocyanins that are acylated, different types of anthocyanins have greater stability, and those suffer from reversion less. And what we've particularly found is that higher firmness causes less reversion. So this is a study that was conducted by one of John Clark's previous PhD students, Alejandra Salgado. She looked at A2453, which is a blackberry that we call crispy texture. It kind of has the texture of a pomegranate arrow, so it sort of pops when you get it, but it doesn't really soften. And we compared that to Natchez, which is a cultivar that's kind of middle of the road for softness. And you can see here when she looks at the cell walls, these are a little bit more intact than these. We've all jumbled around. And she found fewer reverted berries. She found about 13% reversion on average in her study in the crispy genotypes compared to 41% in the non-crispy. And, you know, Natchez is not even the worst that we have. So the bottom line is that berries with firmer texture tend to have fewer reverted drupelets. So other contributing factors, post-harvest mishandling. So if you have delayed cooling after harvest, warming after cold storage, you break the cold chain, you know, then of course it becomes more of a problem. Also, cultural practices by the grower can have a role. Excessive nitrogen application has been shown to cause more high levels of red drupelet reversion, as well as heavy rainfall. And we have various work that has been done and never published, little studies by undergrads over the years have shown that higher harvest temperature and time of day may play a role. So my grad student Mitch, we had decided with him to undertake a big study on this area to finally publish whether time of day has a role. So he evaluated the incidence of red drupelet reversion after a week of cold storage for 7 different genotypes from our breeding program harvested at 4 times of the day. So he harvested at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. And he determined whether fruit firmness was correlated to the incidence of red drupelet reversion as well as time of day. So he collected the berries at each harvest time in a little clamshell like so, and then he took the berry surface temperature using a thermometer right when he harvested. And then he refrigerated, standard refrigerator, for 5 degrees C for 1 week, pulled them out, and he subjectively evaluated the percent reverted berries. So any berry that he said had 2 or more reverted drupelets on here, so somebody like this or this, he called that a reverted berry, and then he calculated the percent of berries that were reverted in each clamshell. Afterwards, he measured the compression force for each of these berries using a texture analyzer, a TAXT2. And then he stored 3 berries per clamshell in the freezer for composition analysis with the thought that we wanted to just make sure that we didn't have some differences in ripeness level. And I'll just summarize this right now so we don't have to talk about it further. We didn't find any differences in soluble solids or acidity for the times of day that we harvested. There are, of course, genotypic differences, but that is not surprising to us because we know some berries tend to be sourer than others. So, the weather on the days he harvested. In 2018, he harvested on June 14th and 19th. And pretty hot days. It was 93 on the first harvest day, 91 the second, got down to 72 and 70. And the berry temperatures kind of go along with that, but you know, 75 at the 7 a.m. harvest, getting hot already by 10 a.m., as it tends to do in our lovely Arkansas climate. Really hot by 1 p.m., and it stayed hot at 4 p.m. The next year, the weather was quite a bit cooler. I'm surprised to see that it was that low, so I want to look at another weather station on there, especially when I look at that berry temperature data. But we did have a cooler year this year. And we had a lot of rain this year, so that's another factor that went into this experiment. So what did he find for the percent reversion? First of all, we found a significant interaction with reversion in year, so we had to break apart the analysis separately for 2018 and 2019. He also found a genotype by time of day interaction effect during 2018. So if we look at just the differences between genotypes for each of these times of day, so looking across the columns, there was a significant difference at each of the time of days between the genotypes. But you know, here you can see, you know, the black magic was by far the worst for each of the time of days, and then slowly getting better. And down here, these bottom 4 are all kind of equal to each other, and bottom 5 sometimes. So we had really high reversion on Black Magic and moderate amount on Natchez, Primark 45, and then when you get down to Primark Traveler, Wachita, Osage, and 2453, we had very little reversion regardless of the time of day. That's also carried forward when we do the analysis across times of day instead of across genotypes. So now I'm looking at different letters indicating significant differences between times of day here. So here you can see that black magic is significantly better at 7 a.m. than it is at 10 a.m. and then 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. are the same. I have some effect of time of day again with Natchez and Primark 45, and I lose that effect of what time of day I harvested down with these lower reversion genotypes. Okay, so in 2019, fortunately, we did not have a time of day by genotype interaction effect, so that makes it easier to explain. So here you can see that, you know, it's much better to harvest at 7 a.m., a much lower rate of reversion, around 17%, and then it gets worse really quickly by 10 a.m., and then, you know, it's higher, of course, when you get to 1 p.m. and a little bit better again by 4 p.m., which is surprising. Usually it doesn't get better at the end of the day for us, but that 7 a.m. is definitely the best time to get out there. And as far as the rankings of genotypes, we had higher reversion overall this year. As you can see, 73% reversion for Black Magic this year, and generally higher on average for each of those genotypes, but the rankings are about the same as they were the previous year. So if we look at the berry firmness, you can see here that Black Magic is by far the softest genotype. It's a genotype that we have released as a home garden cultivar because it is tasty, but it is very soft, so it doesn't hold up well in storage. Whereas 2453, that crispy genotype with that kind of pomegranate texture, that is by far the firmest, and we've got a good range in between, and the ranking is very similar from year to year on who is firmest to least firm. So we found a 53% correlation between firmness and reversion in 2018, and only a 36% correlation between firmness and reversion in 2019. So these guys here, Ouachita and Osage, they actually did quite a lot better in terms of reversion than we would expect considering how soft they are. And these guys, Primark 45 and Natchez, did worse for reversion than we would expect if we were looking just at firmness. So that was an interesting finding, and maybe there's something to do with the type of anthocyanin that is the major involved in the composition there that plays a role. So we have those frozen berries, and I intend to look into it this winter and see if we find some relationship. So, some conclusions. Increased reversion and firmness in 2019. We definitely found more this year than last year, and we'll attribute that to the very rainy weather that we had because that usually causes higher reversion. Firm genotypes tend to have lower reversion than soft genotypes, but it's not accounting for everything, and those anthocyanin composition types may play a role. Early harvest, particularly before 10 a.m., can help reduce the severity of red drupelet reversion, but it's something that you have to worry about quite a lot more if you're dealing with soft genotypes or higher reverting genotypes than you do these crispy types that tend to revert less. So, thanks to everyone who helped with this study, all of our staff at Fruit Research Station and all of our other grad students, as well as the National Association of Raspberry and Blackberry Growers who helped funded this research, and the Southern Region Small Fruit Consortium. And here's Mitch, the student who did all the work, and I've got his contact information there if anyone wants to contact him with questions, and I'll be happy to take them myself. Okay, the question was, are there flavor differences between red druplets and black druplets? As far as I'm aware, nobody has ever found a difference in terms of sugar or acidity between the red and the black druplets. It would be difficult to do the flavor study. You'd have to kind of excise a lot of druplets and give somebody a bowl full of druplets instead of a blackberry to do that. So we haven't done it, but I don't believe that there is a relationship based on having eaten reverted and non-reverted druplets. I do think the genotypes that tend to revert more tend to be the genotypes that don't store as well. So some of them can taste a little nastier. But I don't. It's not reversion that does it. The anthocyanins don't have an effect on flavor. So, yep.
So in speaking to a researcher at the Bristol Berries, he was telling me that their investigations have led to the conclusion that reversion is due to vibration damage. And their clue was that when they investigated, they found that there was higher incidence in the pallets on a truck over the rear axle, which is well known to be where you have the most vibration injury. So I think that's probably what you're seeing. I suppose they were in a pickup truck or something?
Well, no, I mean, like, they're at the station, you know, we take them from where they got harvested 100 yards down the road to where they get put in. I do not doubt that vibration plays a major role in there, particularly in the commercial shipping of these things where they go down a dirt road in Mexico and they probably get shaken real hard. But I don't think it's the only thing that's going on either. And Max Edgley and his work has found that as well. By dropping them and harvesting them harder, he sees more reversion. But that temperature change plays a role as well, because we know that when the cold chain is broken, reversion is much worse. So there's multiple factors playing a role.
What I was going to say to follow up is that the temperature part makes sense, because fruits in general tend to be firmer at lower temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So that would tend to reduce injury if it is mechanical injury that causes the problem, which it probably is. But like you say, there's obviously a genetic factor.
Yeah, when cell walls are stronger, they're able to resist that mechanical damage. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Let me give some comments on the first question. Yeah, I recently published one paper about food chemistry. That name is Untargeted and Targeted Metabolomics Analysis of Blackberry Under Candy Post-Harvest Red Droplet Disorder. So in that paper, we found that isocitric acid is significantly differ between black roulette and red roulette. So red roulette is significantly higher, so that contributes increasing decreasing pH. So the red roulette blackberry can be more acidic, and also pH also lower, significantly lower than black. And also,
wait, is that from red droplets and black droplets harvested from the same fruit? Or is this from genotypes that tend to have higher reversion and genotypes that tend to have lower reversion?
We collect three cultivars, and then after 1 week of post-harvest storage, we incise red droplet part and the black droplet part, which is that upward. Black roulette inside in the red roulette upper blackberry that tend to have a higher sucrose, and also the red roulette has lower higher isocitric acid. Then that actually can affect on the sensorial quality.
Where is that published? Have you submitted it now or?
It's published in Food Chemistry, December 2019, December 1st. It's published online, right? It accepted about 2 months ago.
Okay, I'll have to look at that. We have not found, you know, in what analysis we've done, differences in soluble solids and TA, but we've not looked at individual soluble solids and individual acids. So I'll have to look up that paper and cite it later. So thank you.
All right, thank you.